like to call Congress back to order. Reports of select committees. Congresswoman Evers.
Congressman, Adam, resolution number ONCA 1735, an act to amend 13 ONC section 2101 through 2104 to vest Natural Resources Regulatory Authority in the Environmental and Natural Resources Department of the Osage Nation and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Marina Wyandhorn. Final committee action is D pass as properly gross with yes and votes from Edwards, Bufflehead, and Mason.
Thank you, Congresswoman. We're now on third reading on our agenda. ONCA 1735, an act to amend 13 ONC section 2-101 through 2-104 to vest Natural Resources Regulatory Authority in the Environmental and Natural Resources Department of the Osage Nation to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Whitehorn is the sponsor. How do you wish to proceed?
I'll split my time, please.
Okay. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, members of Congress. I'm presenting to you bill number ONCA 1734. It vests the Natural Resources Regulatory Authority in our Environmental and Natural Resources Department. This bill was passed back in April of 2014 in its original form. It was under ONCA 1268. At the time, I believe it was a unanimous vote of Congress to pass it out. We were in a whole different place in our Environment and Natural Resources Department at the time. At that time, we were looking at our water rights. We realized that we needed to give our ENR department some authority to step out and do some things that we needed to do, promulgate some rules for the permitting of water. At that time, we didn't own 43,000 acres of contiguous land. We did own property, restricted property, but not like this Bluestem Ranch. So things have changed since we passed this law out. While we've been having the discussions about Bluestem Ranch and how we're going to utilize it and manage it, it came out that 1268 had very broad management authority for our Environment and Natural Resources Department. And upon review, it did, because we were, like I say, at a different place then. So what I've done with this amendment, I don't believe I substantially changed the bill. What this amendment has done is it's focused down the duties and responsibilities and authorities of our Environment and Natural Resources Department to focus more on the regulatory actions that they will take to help us manage, help different departments or different companies manage our Osage land instead of leaving the wide open, broad authority that was there. I would like to say we met on this in committee yesterday in the Commerce Committee. Assistant Chief Redcorn came to the table to represent the executive branch. He brought amendments and a couple of suggestions, which I did think were very good and welcomed them and implemented them into this bill that we have right now in front of you. I would like to also say that I read something out there in the realm of social media. I really hate to address that from the podium, that this does leave constitutionally the regulatory authority that is in the Constitution with the Minerals Council. I didn't change any of that language in the original legislation that was passed. It was already there. And those duties are separate duties. They do not belong to the Environment and Natural Resources Department. The promulgation of rules and regulations pertaining to the Minerals Estate belongs to the Minerals Council. So I didn't want to say that. Other than that, I hope that you support this change. It gives Congress more authority than what the original bill had in it to be able to pass the regulation by resolution before it's promulgated. And that was the amendment that the executive branch brought to us that I was agreeable to. In my mind, we were doing that anyway, but the assistant chief actually put it down in the bill in words, and I'm in agreement with that. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and please vote yes.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Thank you, Speaker, members of Congress. I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was having a conversation with Congresswoman Whitehorn about ONCA 1735, and we started discussing my bill, ONCA 1730, which is not, it's been assigned to committee, but hasn't been heard yet. So we fleshed out some of the things that could conflict. I was agreeable to do a committee substitute, reached out to the executive branch to see if they would be agreeable to that committee substitute, and they said they would. I felt like that was a compromise. Yesterday, executive reached out. They had some issues with 1735. They were talking about possibly a veto. I encouraged all parties to discuss and see what compromise we could get to, and in my mind, today is a perfect day because this is a product of good communication by both branches, and we worked really hard to get here, so I would encourage everyone to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Anyone else like to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Edwards. This bill was timely filed. It was discussed among the members, and it was discussed in an open meeting, all of which is pursuant to our regular and established practice. I think it's unfortunate that we have to stand up here and say, wow, the executive branch actually communicated with us and worked with us on something. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. And that's why they have an individual that's named as the legislative and legal analyst in their branch of government. That's why the assistant principal chief sits here every day. So it shouldn't be an anomaly for us to have communication, but I know that, unfortunately, that's what happens. I guess maybe that's what happens in a young government or the United States government, for that matter. But I appreciate the fact that this bill went through a process. It was fast-tracked today, but only because, and I think we should explain this,
yes,
because there is a veto deadline, and there were some rules and regulations promulgated ahead of the laws. And frankly, I don't find that in the best interest of our nation to start writing and getting out in front of the laws of the nation. So there are some rules and regulations promulgated, and there's two laws pending that involve some of the things that those rules and regulations say. So unfortunately, if the laws are put into place, the rules and regulations are immediately going to have to change if, in fact, they were promulgated prior to the laws being passed. So hopefully this one's going to be ahead of the rules and regs, and maybe the rules and regs can wait until we figure out what these other laws are going to be. Those laws were discussed about 6 months ago and are on the table now. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Anyone else? Seeing none, Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have time remaining.
I'll waive my time.
Okay. The question is, shall ONCA 1735 pass?
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Sipernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethel.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes.
ONCA 1735 passes and is advanced to enrollment. There's an alternate effective date. Is there any discussion regarding the alternate effective date? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes. We are now on motions and notices.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to approve. Rule 8.4, recommended by the Rules and Ethics Committee on March 3rd, 2017.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion? Congresswoman Buffalohead.
This is going back to the week that everyone said they needed a day to look at it, to review it, and then we ran into Women's History Month celebration that we did, and then the next couple of days were built up with committee meetings. I think that everyone at this point has had almost a full week to review. The committee felt like the changes were necessary and to the benefit of our body, and we supported the change, and so I would encourage you all to vote yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I did review the rule, and I'm looking for the notes that I have on that rule, because I did have some questions about the rule change and policy not following or policy being absent in the wake of that rule being accepted and adopted by the committee. Namely being, I'm trying to do it from memory because right now I'm at the disadvantage because I don't have my notes. Looking for them right now as we speak. But trying to do it from recollection here. Can you please tell me what that, can you read the rule that we're going to, yes, I would like to hear what the rule is.
Official legislative records included the Osage Nation membership roll, all congressional journals with any attachments thereto, filed bills, resolutions, committee substitutes, and any filed amendments thereto, documentation with a clerk of Congress stamp and or clerk's official communication number, committee reports, approved committee minutes, Office of Fiscal and Performance Review reports, fiscal analysis reports, any document declared official by reported majority vote of the Congress. The congressional journal shall include as an attachment all executive messages, legislative messages, and the speaker's closing report presented at each congressional session. Records that are required to be created by these rules that are of vital, permanent, or archival value shall be maintained in the office of the clerk whenever necessary, but no more often than annually, or less often than biannually. Records required to be maintained shall be archived. Confidential documents shall be labeled as such and shall be maintained, disseminated, and archived in accordance with legislative policy and procedures. All other records that are no longer needed for any purpose and that do not have sufficient administrative, legal, or fiscal significance to warrant their retention shall be disposed of. A digital recording shall be made of each day's session by the clerk, which shall be compiled and stored on a digital device suitable for archival purposes. Committee staff assigned to each existing committee shall ensure compliance with this rule for all records created or received by the committee. All congressional staff and the speaker shall ensure compliance with this rule for all records created.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
That helped me, although I still don't have a visual to look at, so I had to make some quick notes. The requirement for the executive messages and the legislative message to be attached to the journal. My question to the movement of this rule is, where is it that document has to be submitted to Congress so there's a hard copy of it that can take place? Do you have it somewhere else in a rule that says that the chief must submit his executive message to the clerk of Congress previous to him standing to the podium to give it?
No, but our
rules or the speaker.
Our rules wouldn't pertain to him anyway. You're going to have to ask him or her to deliver that.
But yet we're making a rule about an executive message that's to be attached to our journal. And I don't think that that's a bad idea. I'm not arguing that point, but I'm just looking at the process and the function of it. How are you going to get that document if a chief doesn't give that to you?
You're going to have to transcribe it if it doesn't.
Then you're going to have to, well, then how are we going to approve that first day journal and expect our clerks to transcribe? What if he stands up there for 25 minutes and talks, and then we expect our clerk to spend her time during session? Because remember, that's the very first day of session. So then she would be expected to find time to sit down and listen through headphones and transcribe the chief's executive message in order to attach it to an approved journal. So my question is the process of it. Have you considered that? And I don't think that there's anything in rule that really addresses that, or policy and procedure.
Well, my recommendation would be to either A, have a court reporter come the first day, or B, get a recording device that actually transcribes, both of which are easily obtainable.
Okay. And then my second question, although I don't think that's really, I don't know if that's acceptable to pass the rule and then expect everything else to fall in line. Maybe it is. But my next question is the dissemination of protected documents. Is there something in there? Can you please read, since I don't have the advantage of having the copy, could you please read that to me?
Congresswoman, go ahead.
Well, everyone has a copy. It's on the Rules and Ethics Committee report. And if you flip it over, flip over your page, it's all... We got it this morning, it's all like...
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it. I knew that it was disseminated at one point in time. My apologies, I didn't realize that they gave it back out today. Okay, so confidential documents shall be labeled, shall be maintained, disseminated. Is there any policy on the dissemination of confidential documents that's always been... We're changing the rule. We're saying that they're going to be disseminated, but I don't know that we have any rule, procedure, or policy that covers that either. And that's always been when I was speaker for 2 years, that was always problematic. So I still see it as problematic without any policy to dictate that.
Well, it says that you need to set the policy, and CA sets the policy and procedure, so... I would say that NCA needs to react to that, but I think this may already be a rule of yours.
I think I reviewed it, and I don't think it was very clear. And the confidential document that I'm speaking of are executive session recordings. I think those have always been... issue of controversy, how we handle those, whether we send those executive session recordings through emails. To me, an executive session recording is a special recording. I think it even goes somewhere as far as to say that executive session recordings are kept under seal in the clerk's office. So to me, if we don't have a policy for dissemination, then I can't, in good faith, or in my own mind, vote yes for this rule until we have some guidelines and policy that follow how we keep those protective records.
So what you're saying is, because we have no rule, let's not make a rule until we have a policy, and the rules override the policy. Here's the rule. CA needs to go and work on the policy. The details and what you want are going to be in the policy, unless you want more detail in the rule. But I'm not sure it goes in this right.
Well, this rule says that it's maintained and disseminated. So I would be opposed to the
disseminated, and archived in accordance with the legislative policy and procedure. So
we don't know what that policy is.
We don't.
I know, but we don't.
Okay, we're stuck on this one thing, so let's... I think we need to wrap up discussion on this and let your votes finish. Excuse me?
I just...
One last comment, please.
CA always has policies, procedures manual, almost always has policies and procedures manual on the agenda. Just ask that CA put it on the agenda and work on that policy, because there already is a policy. It just doesn't have, apparently, all the detail that it needs, and I can agree that it's unclear.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Hold.
I'm sorry, did you have a comment?
Well, I wanted to mention on number five, I wondered who makes a determination these records are no longer needed, because we had a lot of important even legal opinions from early years of our administration that are no longer there. Somebody apparently made the decision we didn't need them.
Congresswoman Buffalo.
I believe that that's addressed through CA, through policy, and we have it in CA at some point. I don't know what year this was, but that in policy, and it's got X amount of years, and after X amount of years, and information is deemed no longer to be stored, or, you know, I can't remember the exact wording, but Congressional Affairs made that policy.
That's true. Clerk just mentioned, and I agree, because we've bought more fire teams that we don't destroy records, they're sent to archives, but I do believe that there's a policy of how long or when to send them to the archives, when to not store them in the office and move on to archives, but we don't destroy any of our records, so they would be archived at that point. And then in policy could be decided or is. Okay, is there any more discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congresswoman Bethlehem?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. The rule passes, motion passes.
That was your eight vote?
It's eight.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to get your count, so what is the count? Okay, motion fails. Okay, we are still on motions and notices, Congresswoman Edwards.
A point of order, from this point forward, there will be no attachment of the executive message or the legislative message to any of the journal that.
No, I'll come again.
As of this moment, Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I think it could be attached by motion.
If there was
a hard copy that was, because I know that in advance that sometimes that the chief has handed us his message and motion of Congress to attach it to the journal.
Right, because I'm trying to remember what the motion was. I think the last motion you did was just for right now, but it could be done by motion again for the closing report.
Actually, I made it forever, and it was suggested that it be put into rules so that it would not be.
The motion is forever? Okay, Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Well, I've sat on rules and ethics for a while now, and it doesn't really matter who's on rules and ethics or who's sitting around the seats. This has become a problem. Rules and ethics puts a lot of work, and we come in at 8 o'clock in the morning to work on our rules, which are a mess and have been a mess for quite some time, and then it goes nowhere on the floor. And I'm at a loss at this point. If people have opinions and want to vote no, come to the meeting. They're noticed, we're there, come put your opinion in, but for us to do the work and sit around the table 8 a.m. day after day and go through all of this only to be shot down on the floor because someone hasn't read it or doesn't know what's going on is disappointing in my opinion. I don't understand what we can do better. If my colleagues have a suggestion for the rules and ethics on how we can better communicate what the issues are, and I'm not just speaking about this time, I'm speaking about all the other times before, and there are a dozen times before that we put the work in at the table and they've gone nowhere on the floor. So if someone has a suggestion or someone else wants to get on rules and ethics, I would encourage that. I don't know what else to do.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I did read the committee report and I did review it, and I do believe I even went as far as to go to policy and procedures and see how it intertwines. So I think that when it's presented for a vote, that's what we get to do, is we get to vote on it, yes or no. And that's what I did. I asked questions in discussion, and I got my answers and was able to formulate my vote, whether I thought that the rule ought to pass. So I did do my work on it. I couldn't make it to the meeting. I couldn't make it to the meeting this morning, but I listened to the meeting. So I know what's going on. Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards, well, I think please keep your comments very brief. Okay. We need to move on from this. We have one other member of Congress that would like to speak.
If you don't come to the meeting and you have thoughts on how to make it better, and you don't, or what would make it better for you, or let you vote for the rule, and then you don't go to the trouble to pass an amendment, to write an amendment down, then where are we? I mean, you're not really participating in the process. You're just being a no-no.
Congresswoman Edwards, we're not going to sit here and go back and forth for defending one another. Please, Congressman Shaw, do you have something specific about this? Please, no.
Well, we're in motions and notices. With the vote's been taken, I was ready to give a notice.
Okay.
I wanted to notice the Congress that the Appropriations Committee meeting is scheduled for 2:30 today.
2:30 to 5, correct?
2:30 to 5.
2:30 to 5. Right.
We have four bills today.
We have another meeting at 1 o'clock. Who's at 1 o'clock? Congresswoman Edwards?
Education's canceled for today.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m.
Well, hold on, please. We have on the agenda Mr. Corbin. It was discussed whether to ask him to move it to next week, and a member of Congress said they have questions. So I just would you all like to hear his report at this time? We have a meeting that starts at 1 o'clock, so.
No.
We don't.
Oh, yes, excuse me, we don't, so we have time. Would you like to ask, he has been sitting here all morning, and he could give a brief report, is what I think. I asked him to control his report. He's coming to report to us, so we're going to let him report. So, Mr. Corbin, can you go ahead and come up to the podium for your report, please? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Point of order, you have a motion and a second on the floor. All right, what are you going to do to dispel that?
Excuse me, what? I'm sorry, I did not. I was in the middle of talking and I didn't hear that. So motion to adjourn is withdrawn. Thank you. Mr. Corbin, sorry about that.
Madam Speaker,
fellow congresspeople. I'd like to pick up where we left off on last week's report on the recommendations at the end. I think there's some things that need to be pointed out that have been recommended for numerous years, and there's no action been taken on them. And page 7 of that report to Congress is dated December 31st. Where we left off was like on number 3. A filing or catalog system should be adopted for use by the various programs departments to ensure safety of records and allow a faster and more thorough review of the records. What we found when we go in to do our audits is records are in disarray lots of times. And they may be just in boxes scattered around. And it really makes it more time consuming, more difficult, and it's hard to determine if you got all the records or not. And I feel like that's something, you know, we can't implement that. That's something the administration has to implement on their side. And, you know, through their oversight of their directors of operations and their compliance officers, that's something I feel that they need to implement that on some checks to see if their departments have their records in proper order. Number 4, I addressed this in previous report when we were talking about the disability program that, and come to find out, I had reported it previously in a previous year. Policies and procedures developed and implemented to address situation of an employee or immediate family member of an employee of a department or program applying for assistance or benefits within the program for which they work. Secondary review of the applications, qualifications, scoring process should be done by a group or board outside of the program or programs in question and not be of political origin. This secondary review and approved process would help alleviate the perception that the nation's employees get preferential treatment in receiving assistance or benefits of the programs. Those people that don't work for the nation or have family members that work for the nation or live outside of the network that have access to what's being passed here in Congress with appropriations, creating programs, they're kind of left to only relying on the information they get through the Osage News, which is after the fact in a lot of situations. And when they do find out how to apply, the money is used up. And so I was under the assumption there was some legislation that was going to be passed where it set up a date for applications to be accepted, and that would give everybody a chance to at least get their applications in before the distribution process or the awarding process takes place. That would give all, rather than first come, first served, as they say, it would give all entities, citizens, their family members, time to get their applications in, and then the screening process, or if you did a lottery process or however, to determine the recipients could take place. I think that would, in my belief in talking to some of your constituents that live, let's say, outside of Osage County, that would give them the feeling that they're getting just as much chance as a person that lives right here or that has a family member that lives right here. And because I think they feel that they don't have the same accessibility to the programs or benefits of the nation that people here do. And that's a, and it's perception, okay? But it's still hard to overcome, and it creates a negative against your government. Number five, the administration should develop a critical assistance strategy or plan to assist management and personnel of programs and other departments that have material findings or repeat findings of a non-material nature. It's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Just because somebody, for whatever reason, they have a problem in their program, rather than just immediately severing them, you need to see if you can salvage that years of experience and work with them and see if you can, they can change their practices that you can utilize in your system. We have noticed that's happened in selected cases, that people have a problem, but then it appears that people with, and this is our observation, and it's an opinion, that people with greater violations are still maintained in employment, but people with possibly lesser just compliance or operational are immediately terminated. And that creates like a two-balanced system that not everybody's being treated the same. That needs to be addressed by administration. Personnel policy should be adhered in a professional manner. This is number six, so as to eliminate unnecessary grievance board hearings and court filings. again, policies and procedures as outlined in the employee's personnel manual should be followed for all employees. We found that that's not been the fact in some cases. All number seven, all reports, reviews, analysis, and any other written product that's a result of a contract for professional services in evaluating the operations of programs and or departments should be filed as public record. Now, this may not include proprietary information such as possibly in your gaming, you know, such as that, but over the years, you hear, well, there's been several reports that's been contracted, paid for by the nation, performed by outside entities, but you don't know where they're at. That administration that awarded that or got it, it's, they did something with it. So that's of no use when you go to develop what problems did they have back then, what problems they have now, is it a continuing problem? Sometimes you have to just rely upon somebody kept a personal copy and present it. You need a central, within this government, there needs to be a central filing location that all your documents are filed at, whether it's a Secretary of the Nation. I'm going to relate it to county government, like your county clerk. All your documents, you can go and look at your, whether it's real estate, personal filings, whatever, at your county clerk's office. And that needs to be developed for everybody's use in the nation. You can actually go back rather than having to ask, call the executive office and say, do you have a copy of this? Call the congressional clerk, do you have a copy of this? And it also gives you an official document that's stamped in, dated, and certified that that was recorded. That's a suggestion. Number eight, I already addressed it. It's the same thing. All agency audits of the Osage Nation's programs and or departments should be filed as public record. And that's your granting agencies. They do audits on your programs, but you don't ever see them. And generally they say within the executive office or just that program's office. And that would aid y'all in your appropriation process and consideration of the program. You ought to be on notice when the agency is auditing that. That should be as a notice, as an entrance letter, just like an external audit. Number nine, a central filing office, I addressed this a while ago, should be established for all government notices, policies, and government documents. And that's what I was referring to, is like your county clerk's office. Number 10, policy or legislation should be established that require all offices have an available executive officer or their appointed substitute to sign or approve any required documentation during the course of the operations of the office. This would be considered a service to the citizenry to avoid alleviate repeated trips for executive approval and guarantee the program and or department would be able to assist the citizens at any time. And I addressed that in a special session when we were talking previously, because that's been a problem that's been brought up to our office several times by your citizenry. They have commuted here considerable miles and come to find out that they'll have to come back because there's nobody in their office that can receive their application or authorize it that day. That considers the, you know, that I'm open to questions on it.
Councilwoman Edwards. So does the Office of the Secretary keep track of different kinds of files that you're talking about?
What I'm aware of right now is the Office of the Secretary maintains the files of your corporate entities, your LLCs, their articles of operation as far as their articles of incorporation, and I really am not aware of any other records that they keep other than that.
So what you're saying is that there's no one place where any of us could go to locate all the policies and the procedures of the executive branch?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, even like if you want to know, if we go to do, let's say, an audit or a review of a board, we either have to try to contact the clerk or contact the executive. There's no central office you can call and say, who's on the board, foundation board? What's their contact information? It's like you have to have been here a while to kind of develop, you know where to look at. But we do not, for the public to call in and say, who's on the foundation board? How can I contact them? It's kind of a rat race. You'd have to make like five or six calls.
So in other words, you need something like a rule that would establish the official records of the nation.
Yes, ma'am. A central office, central filing office. And it's going to entail, it's not going to be an easy job. I mean, there's going to be a lot of database, and then, at the end of the period, you're going to have to determine what time, just as you addressed Congressman Supernov, that those records be sent to archives, but they still need to be available. I mean, tell you where I ran into it on the health matter. And there's been numerous studies been commissioned by our nation for the health of the citizenry, different things, and you go to, I even contacted the person that did one of them, thinking maybe that they could get me a copy. And it would be about 10 years old now, because they did it right when I first came here. They said, well, that might be on an old computer I got. When I get a chance to start up that old computer, I'll look at it. He never got back with me. A constituent had kept their copy and gave it to me later, about a year later.
Right. I agree. I've been running into that as well lately. Some people who were in this office and now are still an employee or just in meetings lately, and they'll say, we did this. Like, I remember we went on, and had, like you said, paid consultants, et cetera.
Good,
and,
right?
Right. And they're like, but we didn't ever do anything with it, so I wonder who has that.
In the previous administration, and I think Congressman Tillman was involved in some of it, we had a study by a lady down south, well-renowned, couldn't get access to it. By the current administration at that time. And you can't get full benefit from it if you don't have that information to develop your studies and evaluations. Congressman Shaw is looking for a study now that's being commissioned, and that needs to be stored to where 5 years down the road you can compare that to what the conditions are then to see how accurate it was. And that is just good business. I mean, government, even though it is government, it's a business, big business.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Mr. Corbin, on the recommendations number four, the department or program that you're referring to, are those federally funded departments or tribes, or are they tribally funded?
Now, number four,
yes.
Is that policies and procedures?
Under the recommendations, yes. the situation of an employee or an immediate family member?
Most of those, well, they're both.
Okay.
They're both.
Specifically.
I mean, so your federal, they come with guidelines attached to them. They're pretty much set and stuff.
That was my question. If they're happening within the federally funded, does the funding agency require or have rules that are or are not being followed with as far as the administration of the benefit?
I don't believe so. I think they're probably the federally funded portion of it because they've went through all this. I mean, you know, okay. Over the years, they've encountered all these problems.
So
it mostly has to do with your tribally funded.
Tribally funded programs. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Didn't you audit the legislative branch? Have we gotten that report back yet?
No, ma'am.
Well, I don't think we don't have any records recorded in rule or policy. Please.
Pardon?
You might want to add on it that we don't have any rule or policy regarding official records of storage and retention. Sorry, come on.
Continue.
When, you know, I've been on this mission to try to determine whether the nation has an inventory of all the lands that it owns or oversees for probably 3 or 4 years now. And so, is there any report that I can look to that will show that that's a deficiency and or, you know, I've tried, but then I get a recent report that, you know, there's a piece of property that the nation owns that's neglected and hasn't been da-da-da-da. Am I just relegated to calling the hotline or how do I go about trying to persuade a department that's an important part of our sovereignty and something that we need to be able, I can't go look it up and see if it really is our property or what the status is of it.
Right.
Is there any report that addresses that, in other words? And if it did, what would happen if...
Okay. Probably under government Committee of Government Operations or Commerce, because the land you're talking about would fall under Commerce. If you go to that committee and they request a report from our office on that, then we could do, you know, we'd be sent on a mission to develop that report by Congress.
Just to confirm, so once you got that report and said, okay, so there is no official inventory and constituents cannot go anywhere and look up land owned by the nation, what happens when you do that?
Well, we don't have any enforcement capability. It's just filed for everybody to see. It's lacking. But until the people in charge of doing that does anything, nothing. I mean, it's just going to remain.
Nice piece of paper.
What? I have to say, in all fairness, that recently, in regard to some land, now that the nation has a realty department in it, and they have staffed it, I don't know exactly how many people's in the realty department now. I know there's 3. I'm aware of, but I requested some information on a piece of property, and I got pretty much immediate action, and it was in, I actually told the person that had together it for them, I said, I only asked for the one, but they gave me like a whole list that I really hadn't asked for, but it appears, what I'm trying to say, it appears they're bringing their system, might not be fully up to speed yet, but they're trying to address that problem.
Okay.
Because they've got people, and I will say this, they're experienced people. And I think that's going to be addressed. I can't promise it, but it looks like it's going to be addressed in the future.
Good. Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Also, I believe, Congresswoman, that is a function of the Commercial Property Act. I think we have a commercial property. It's in the law. It just hasn't been that they should report to us the commercial properties, and it just hasn't been done, and I don't know why. But that's a point of law that we've written.
Well, I agree with you, but you know, as a result, like so many other things, apparently we wrote a law and passed it because we thought it was important, and yet it's either not implemented or something just doesn't happen. And that's when I look usually to OFPR to say the laws aren't being implemented. There's a lack of performance. The money that you've appropriated for that purpose isn't being used for that purpose. But even then, after that happens, without an enforcement mechanism, it just sits there.
Mr. Corbin?
That was exactly what I'm going to address, Congressman. A lot of the laws that were early written on, and ours was one of them, stated that we have full access to all records, documents, and so forth of the nation and all its entities. But there's no repercussions if they don't comply. And so Congressman Supernaw supported some legislation that eventually got some enforcement capabilities in the effect of fines or jail time if they didn't comply with, you know, such requests. And I think that's, a lot of your laws were passed stating you've got to do it this way, but there's no repercussions if they don't. And you're just going to have to go back, my opinion, you're going to have to go back and put some repercussions in those for non-compliance.
Well, I was just trying to get an understanding of the conversation. So I agree that you would be the person to investigate whether that law was being applied correctly. Then you would report to us on that. So
yes,
we would have some research to let us know that. Okay, thank you.
But you can understand on and I think the way our law is written and the way we've tried to implement it, it needs to come from more than one person. It needs the concern. It needs to come from a committee or the Congress as a whole to direct us to go in somewhere.
Okay. Mr. Corbin, I understand that you've made it through your 10 recommendations now. So
yes, ma'am.
I'd
just like to give you real quick update. Since our last meeting, I went to the weekly construction meeting on the casino operations in North Tulsa. I've also, we talked about the performance rating assessment tool. I went back and reestablished a database trying to get that was utilized by the U.S. government up until 2014. It was started in the Bush administration and used up till then. And Obama chose to quit using it at that time. And I'm going to, talking to the speaker, I'm going to reach out to the executive and the directors of, use that in plural, of operations to get their input, because the programs that's going to be evaluated, they're the ones that's going to have to be sold on the assessment and in agreement with it also. So that's kind of some of the things that's took place since then. I'm also compiling, and this is in addition to everything else that's going on in the regular audits, but I'm compiling some documents and information for the AG's office for their use. So that's where we're at.
Okay, thank you.
And we've issued the letter for the foundation, home health, and the clinic.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, you were in the
the process of that. Okay, well, thank you for the update since the last time we spoke last week, and you have now made it through your 10 recommendations and completed the presentation of your report. So
yes,
I would suggest that, because we have a couple of days to go on your report, so I would just suggest that everyone, we didn't get to have a whole lot of discussion, but take these 10 recommendations or anything else that now that you're completed with the report and generate your questions as Mr. Corbin has asked, and send those to him so that that's what he can address the next time that we have a report. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn to 10 a.m. tomorrow. Second.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Opposed say no. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Have you been?
Yeah.